I imagine that some of you saw the movie The Mission when it came out. It was 30 years ago, hard to imagine. Or maybe you've rented it since. In this beautiful film, Jeremy Irons plays a Jesuit priest, a Spanish Jesuit, Father Gabriel. And this is in the middle of the 1700s. So he goes to a remote village in South America, high, high up into the mountains, almost unreachable, in order to convert the native people, the Guaneri. If you haven't seen the movie, I recommend it highly. So at the beginning of the movie, we see that one priest has already been killed by the native people. But Father Gabriel decides to go anyway. And he has a special gift that he takes with him, which is music. So after an arduous journey, day's journey, climbing nearly straight up, there are no paths to get there, they just have to keep climbing, he reaches the place where these native people live. And he sits down and plays the oboe for them, a beautiful, haunting melody. And probably because of this, the people accept him. And so together they begin to build a mission in this wilderness high above the Iguazu Falls. Now down on the mainland, there's a Spaniard named Rodrigo, who makes his living kidnapping the native peoples and selling them into slavery. And it is his story, the story of his conversion, that I remember the most from this movie and that is the most moving. Rodrigo has a fiance in the city, but he's gone for months on this capturing the native people, selling them into slavery. And when he comes back from one of his trips, he finds that she and his younger brother have fallen in love. And before they can explain to him, he finds them together, and in a blind rage, he kills his younger brother with a sword. Well, Rodrigo cannot bear to live with the guilt of what he has done, and he falls into a terrible depression. And weeks go by, and finally the Jesuits come down from the mountain to get supplies, and Father Gabriel visits him, and he challenges him with a penance that is worthy of this crime. He has Rodrigo return with him to the native village and mission. But as he does so, he has to drag a heavy burden all the way. This heavy bundle, like a net of ropes that contains his armor and his sword. Very, very heavy. And he's tied to this burden, and he climbs uphill. It's probably about 2 miles, almost straight uphill. The climb is almost impossible without such a heavy burden. But he does it. And as he gets to almost the summit where the village is, some of the native people come out to greet him. They know that he is a slave trader. They know that he has captured some of their people and sold them into slavery. But instead of meeting him with anger or even indifference, they greet him with love and compassion. And it is one of the native men who gets a knife and climbs down and cuts the rope so that his burden is gone. It falls down the mountain. And Rodrigo dissolves in weeping. He weeps as he was never able to weep for the death of his brother, for the things that he had done, for the sins of his life. Rodrigo finds forgiveness from God, from the very people that he treated as subhuman. And this forgiveness changes his life. He decides to study and devote himself to God and become a Jesuit priest and serve the Guarani people. It was this scene that came to mind for me this past week. These tears, this reaction to the amazing grace of forgiveness that connects Rodrigo's story to the story that we just heard. The story of the unnamed woman who appears and lavishes her love and gratitude on Jesus. Jesus has been invited to Simon's house for dinner. And Simon is a Pharisee, so we are already on alert that there will likely be some kind of testing, some kind of confrontation. The Pharisees seem to always be testing Jesus. And into this dinner party, just off the street, comes a woman. And all we know about her is that she lives in the city and that she was a sinner. We don't know what she did, but whatever it was public knowledge, or at least Simon the Pharisee knows about it. And it is likely that because of this public knowledge, she had carried shame and guilt for whatever it was that she had done. But by the time we meet her in the gospel, this woman had already been forgiven. We don't hear how or when it happened, but she had already had that amazing life-changing encounter. Her heavy burden had already been cut away from her. Whatever it was that had bound her to shame and guilt and grief, it was gone. And so, in the mercy of forgiveness, she came to Jesus to express her love and gratitude for that amazing grace, for her new forgiven life. In Luke's gospel, we often get the metaphor of seeing. Jesus asks Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Simon doesn't see her as a person. All Simon sees is a sinner. He does not recognize her loving acts as a response to God's love. Simon is blind, and Jesus wants him to see. He tries to teach him. He tells him the parable of the two debtors, one who owed a little, and one whose debt was crushing and overpowering. And Jesus contrasts the woman's lavish actions of hospitality and love with Simon's own lack of hospitality to his guest. It is in the presence of grace that sin is most clearly seen. And so the former slave trader, after receiving God's forgiveness for his past, could write that famous hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Jesus wants us to see clearly. He wants us to look at other people with eyes of compassion and love. He wants us to see our own selves clearly and honestly. And most of all, he wants us to see with our whole body and mind and spirit the most amazing grace and forgiveness that God gives freely to us all.